It's the hustle mentality. It's the work 80 hours a week. It's, you can sleep when you're dead. It's work, 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 go and network and go back to work. Or work, 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 go out to networking events and keep going to the networking events. And that's not a way to build a business if you're an introvert.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Have you ever thought that in order to start a business of your own, you had to have an extroverted personality? Well, I'm here to tell you that is just not the case. And today's guest, Jody Lasky, founder of The Introvert Founder, proves this point. Jody helps us explore the unique intersection of introversion and ADHD, drawing from her personal journey and professional expertise. Throughout our conversation, she sheds light on the distinctions between these traits, offering valuable tools and strategies she provides her clients to navigate these challenges. If you're looking for tips on how you can thrive as an introverted founder, then this episode is for you. Jody, I love that you're all about helping others build successful businesses by encouraging them to work with their natural tendencies instead of fighting them. So I'm personally feeling very fortunate today to have you on the show to be able to dive further into some of these different topics. So thanks so much for hopping on the Self-Starter Podcast today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to your audience.
Absolutely. Now, for those people that don't know you, I know this is such a loaded question, but who's Jody? Like, who are you? And really, what have you founded with The Introvert Founder?
Sure. Let me start by saying that I am both introverted and I have ADHD. And people think these things don't go together, but I promise they do. So I am a lawyer by training. I spent 20 years in the government space, mostly defense, building super high-tech laser tag systems, basically. I developed a product to try to use community to prevent sexual harassment and assault. And now I coach other founders.
That's amazing. So I know part of your coaching is being able to help those introverted founders. And you had mentioned that you're also an introvert as well as you also have ADHD. So can we dive a little bit into just introversion and ADHD in general so the listeners have a better idea of really what these two things are and the key differences between?
Absolutely. So one is considered one of the big markers of personality, and that's introversion versus extroversion. People think introversion is about being shy or reserved, and it's not. It's really a combination of how we process information, which tends to be much more internal, and how we get energy, which is not necessarily alone, but in small groups, people you're really close with. Whereas ADHD is about how your brain actually processes dopamine. So dopamine winds up playing a role in both introversion and ADHD, but for different reasons. Introverts have fewer dopamine receptors. So when you would normally get like a dopamine rush, for introverts who don't have ADHD, a different neurotransmitter takes over and information takes a longer pathway around the brain. It's that whole internal thing going on. People with ADHD don't produce enough dopamine or don't produce the normal amount of dopamine. So they look for ways to get dopamine differently.
Interesting. So how has the combination of you having both an introverted personality as well as ADHD really kind of impacted yourself in the business life as well as your personal life?
Both of them wind up meaning I spend a lot of time in my head. I easily get lost in minutia. I need someone to periodically remind me that there is a world outside of like whatever it is I'm working on. In both cases, introverts and people with ADHD both hate small talk. Like, let's just jump into the meat of whatever it is we're here to talk about, which comes off as really rude to people who don't know you. I go to networking events and I want to start with, tell me what you're really excited about working on right now. And people who are not introverts and don't have ADHD are like, I don't even know your name yet. Can we maybe, I don't know, introduce ourselves and then I'll tell you. So it can be a struggle. Probably the biggest thing in terms of starting a business is a lot of the advice out there is all about the hustle. You want to build a business, you got to hustle. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. I can't. Like, I need the recharge time, whether it's from masking ADHD or just from being an introvert. If I work an 8 or 10 hour day and then try to go to networking events in the evening, I will be useless the next day. So I have to be much more aware of my energy and I have to be much more aware of my priorities.
That's really interesting. And I'm sure there's people listening right now that are like, oh my goodness, she just described me. And they had no idea that they potentially were introverted or had ADHD needing to process things a certain way. So how would they be able to distinguish if this is kind of the personality that they have and how would they know how to actually work with what they've been given?
I would say in both cases, there are diagnostic tools to figure out introversion and you know where you are on that spectrum. And there are tools that will tell you if you have ADHD. But from a how to work with it standpoint, the absolute biggest thing is pay attention to how you respond. I can go to a conference and do 3 days of full all-day events and then go out at night and continue the networking and all those things. But I know that the next week I will do nothing. It will take me, if I don't give myself time in the middle to recharge, it will take me 2 to 3 times longer to bounce back. I have learned to stop fighting that and to build it into my schedule.
So it sounds like there's a level of self-awareness that you've had to develop to really understand what charges you and what drains you and really being able to adapt your schedule accordingly to be able to make sure that you're really setting yourself up for success. And
absolutely.
Clearly you've had a lot of success because you've been able to have high-powered positions within the corporate world. You've started multiple businesses and you also have this coaching program for the introverted founder. Before we dive into kind of what you've developed to date, how have you really been able to use your strengths to your advantage, even when you tend to, like you said, kind of quote unquote, get lost in some of the work that you're doing?
Technology helps. Before we started, you and I were talking about how technology can be great and technology can be awful. Rely on the technology. I use alarms for everything. I write everything down. I don't assume I will remember anything because, you know, once a hyperfocus kicks in, it's there, everything else is gone. A big thing with ADHD is what's called object permanence. And that means if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. So I do a lot of handwriting and post-it notes, and I talk a lot about goal setting. My goals for the year are on my desktop computer, but it's not the full desktop because if you see it too much, you stop recognizing it. It's just my lock screen. So every time I unlock my computer, my goals are right in front of me. And I'm reminded 3, 4, 5 times a day, this is what I'm focusing on.
And so how did you really understand that that was kind of the strategy that you needed in order to really hone in and focus on what your long-term goals were here?
Lots of trial and error. I've read just about every habit book out there. It's come out in the past couple of years, maybe not, but lots of neuropsychology books, just trying to understand. And I didn't realize when I started it, I wasn't learning about it for me. I was learning about it for a client project. And then a few years later went, oh, wait, when I have this problem, I can do that. And I know that it works because of X, Y, and Z. Got it.
That's really interesting. So for people that are listening to this and they're thinking, you know what, this sounds like something that I am facing right now, really reach out to some of these like strategy and self-help books to be able to help systematize all of your processes to be able to make sure that you're really able to focus on the tasks at hand. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And one of the hardest lessons for me to learn, I think, was habit stacking works differently for people with ADHD than neurotypicals. So that's introversion does not play a role with that one. But what habit stacking is, if you have one habit and you want to develop a second one, if you can link them, then that habit will stick faster and easier. So for instance, your morning routine, get up, restroom, brush your teeth, brush your hair, wash your face, whatever order you do those things in, you probably do them in the same order every day. And that's a habit stack. And for neurotypical people, that's one thing. That's just the morning routine. Each item is separate for people with ADHD, but one will remind the other. We have more working memory capacity issues. So we don't truly create habits in the same way neurotypicals do. Lists are our friends.
Lists are my friend too. I don't believe that I have ADHD, but I know that this is a huge topic that's been coming out recently from a lot of, especially female entrepreneurs that have ADHD. And because growing up, typically ADHD was, from what I've heard, more easily identified in young boys. And the girls, they're typically overlooked because they typically have different ways of expressing it. And so what I've been listening to in conversations just on podcasts and what I'm reading online is that a lot of these entrepreneurial women are now realizing that they have ADHD and things are making so much more sense. And they're able to then go back and like really systematize things and really understand why their brain's kind of functioning the way that it has been so far. So is this something that you knew kind of your entire life that you were dealing with? Or is this something like these other women that I've been following that has kind of been brought to life through your life experiences?
I'm fairly unusual kind of outlier because the answer is neither. I was diagnosed in my mid-20s, which is a very unusual time, especially I'm 48. I don't like to admit it. I'm 48, 80s. Girls were not diagnosed. Boys were rarely diagnosed in the early 80s. But a big part of the reason, like you said, is we look at little boys and they're hyperactive and that says, ugh, ADHD, but it's not hyperactivity, it's impulse control. So in maybe not, hopefully not little girls, but it can show up in how you spend money, how you jump from job to job, how you are in relationship, all kinds of other things that aren't hyperactive at all. It's impulse control. We get bored. We need a new source of dopamine. And that's where we get it from.
That's really interesting. So that kind of explains why so many women that have ADHD have been very successful in businesses, because they've been able to pivot when things do get a little bit dull and boring, and they're able to constantly improve and better themselves here. So I think there's a lot of great qualities from not only the introvert side of the personality, but also people that have ADHD that has been able to really propel their businesses forward. And clearly it's done that for you. So I actually want to take this back a little bit, because I know we skipped through some of your history and you have a very impressive resume here. So what did you do prior to starting the Introvert Founder?
I tend to do a couple of things at any point in time. So there is that part of it. But when I first started coaching, I had my tech startup. I fell into coaching. I'm a big mouth. I have opinions on everything. And I do read a lot of these different types of books. And I look at the world differently, which is part of the ADHD thing. So I would go to these different networking events and ignore what it would do to me the next day. And I would hear people talking. And I would hear about all the events that they were going to and all the things they were doing, and started pulling them aside and saying, okay, but what are you working? And what are you really making progress on? If you're always out at events, when do you work? So I just sort of fell into coaching while I had my own tech startup. And then the pandemic happened and had to shut down the tech startup. And I went back to the government side of things and did some proposal writing. And for a creative outlet during the pandemic, I started writing novels. So yeah, I stay busy. I have lots of outlets all the time.
You definitely do. And I think that means you're multi-passionate. You have lots of different interests and that keep you busy and really mentally fueled. But you had mentioned that you had kind of fallen into coaching. So what was it about coaching that really intrigued you?
I like helping people. I am very opinionated and I like sharing my opinions with, you know, captive audiences.
Well, and I think as a coach, that's really important, because some coaches are a little bit more passive, but others, sometimes you kind of need that tough love where you're able to have someone that'll tell you how it is, because you don't want to dance around the bush. You want to see results. And if you're going to see results, I mean, obviously sometimes you have to come to that epiphany yourself, But other times you kind of need that tough love, like I was saying. So it's nice to have a little bit of opinion mixed into the whole situation as well.
Well, and the opinion can come through in questions.
True.
Was that an effective use of your time? Is still not a great coaching question because we're not supposed to ask questions that have yes, no answers. But sometimes you need a pointed question like, was that a good use of your time?
Yeah, fair.
Instead of me saying, why did you knew what was. Was that an effective use of your time? So we learn as coaches to, you know, sort of change the judgment into questions so that my clients can internalize it a little bit more.
Yeah. And I know that your clients, you specialize in helping introverted entrepreneurs. So how did you decide that you really wanted to help this specific group of people?
Like I said, I read a lot of books. When I started my tech startup, because I came from a totally different industry, I read sort of everything. And none of them spoke to me. And I was like, okay, well, I know my brain works differently. And I just sort of applied it. And I kept going and I kept going. And I would go to these conferences and I would see people who, especially in the tech world, you have a lot of either neurodiverse or introverted people really getting lost trying to make the standard advice work for them. And with multiple years of accepting and finding different ways to do what I really wanted and ignore the parts of the advice that didn't work for me, I figured I could shortcut some people's learning time.
And you had mentioned that people were getting some of the standard advice and it really just wasn't working. So what kind of standard advice were you seeing with your clients that they were receiving versus how you're able to work with them to really tap into some of their strengths that were better serving them?
It's the hustle mentality. It's the work 80 hours a week. It's, you know, you can sleep when you're dead. It's work, 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 go and network and go back to work. Or work, 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 go out to networking events and keep going to the networking events. And that's not a way to build a business if you're an introvert. And it's also not a way to build a life if you're a human being.
I agree. I come from the startup corporate world. That was my past experience. And the very beginning when I started my career was the hustle culture. And it was go, 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 grind, grind, grind. And I would get in at the office at 6:30 in the morning, making sure that I was there to beat my boss. And I would be there all day. And I was one of the last ones to leave. And it was grueling. I was exhausted. I was stressed. I mean, the stress would come out in my sleep to the point where my now husband was like, maybe I need to rethink some things here because this isn't normal. But it's the hustle culture is real and it doesn't need to be a thing in order to have success.
Absolutely. And that's the balance that I work with my clients on. Whether it's because they are introverts and they need to recharge or whatever other reason, one of the things I work with every client on is goal setting. And I'm sort of adamant that everyone have a goal that does not touch their professional lives. You have to remember that you are a person outside of the business. Whether the business takes off or fails or something in between, you need to have more than the business in your life.
I think that's a really great point because we are more than just our job title. We are a complete human and we are a balanced being. And part of that, yes, I mean, I think we do place a lot of emphasis on the professional identity, but we're not just the professional identity. We are this whole human. And to have a goal that is outside of the professional world is really great because that gives you something to strive for when you have the roller coaster ups and downs of entrepreneurship.
And it reminds you, for instance, when you were in the startup world and working 20 hours a day and dreaming about it when you weren't in the office, having that reminder, whether that personal goal is, I'm going to run a marathon. So if I'm going to run the marathon that I signed up for, I need to do this training program. So I'm going to leave the office for 2 hours to go train. Or it's, you know, I'm going to have a garden this year. So if I want the flowers to grow, you know, it's not just tending the business, it's getting outside and being in the dirt. I've had a few clients where it's, I want to make it to my kids' events. You know, I'm not going to miss any more events. Fabulous. Perfect. How do we make that happen?
Yeah. And I know you said that part of the way that you work with your clients is through goal setting, but why would someone really come to you in the first place for coaching? Like, what is typically their main goal here across the board?
I am an accountability and leadership coach. So those are the two things I focus on. There are certain personality types that are very driven by needing someone else to be accountable for to get things done. I'm one of those personality types, so I understand it. Gretchen Rubin talks about it in her book, The Four Tendencies. Highly recommend it. But when you don't have externally enforced deadlines because you have your own business, for some people, it's a lot harder to get things done or to focus on the right things. So I provide that accountability. And I also work on leadership. As you build your business and you are now a leader, especially as an introvert, how do you balance what good leadership looks like with your personality? Such as, I hate small talk, but it's what my employees are going to need to feel valued as employees. So where is that balance and how do I handle my needs and theirs and build the company with the healthy culture that is not only the right thing to do anyway, but it's proven to make you more money. So for every reason, you want a good culture, and I help you do that.
And I think that's a really interesting topic too, because every single person has a different and unique personality. And like you said, if you're building a business, you have to really almost adapt to the needs of your team in order to make sure that they don't think you're a jerk, essentially. They want to work with you, even though you're not. It's just the way that you're processing information in your head. They don't understand what's going on and like what your true personality is like. So what actually is on the outside is really important. And it's probably really hard for someone that's very introverted. So how are you helping these leaders who are naturally introverted really accommodate the needs of their team and just for the sake of the team's morale in general?
If you don't mind, I'm going to answer that with a little story.
Please.
Someone this week said to me, don't you think your approaches are a little artificial? I tell my clients, because either lack object permanence, hate small talk, whatever, when you walk away from an encounter with one of your employees, either write a quick note in your notebook, take a quick voice memo, whatever you have to do, and then keep it somewhere that you can review periodically so that when you see the person again, you remember to ask, how's your daughter? Is she okay after X? Hey, how's this person? How's that person? How did that go? How did this go? It's not that we don't ask because we don't care. We just don't think of it. So tools to remember it are important. And the person said to me, don't you find that to be disingenuous? And I said, if your mother is sick, and I say to you, how is your mother? Do you care if I remembered it on my own or if I looked at a note that reminded me to ask you? No, because in both cases, it shows that I had thought enough about it to make sure I followed up.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I came from the corporate career. My career was in sales and I was having the same conversations essentially with everyone. So I needed to always take notes for myself. And I would always not only take notes on kind of what they were struggling with and how I could really help, but also the personal details, because the personal details are what sets you apart from everyone else. And that's where you truly connect. And again, like you said, it doesn't matter if I remembered it out of just somewhere in my brain, or if I had to reference a note. The fact is that you took the time to be able to care and to genuinely take an interest in that individual's life.
And as long as you give the person the time to answer and you don't say, hey, hope your wife is okay, by the way, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's messaging. And we work on those things because it falls into the small talk category. And take a breath, slow down. And the benefits of doing so, like you said, it's remembering that as a leader, it's not all about you and your communication styles, and that you benefit if you help your team and accommodate their needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you seen any trends with people's personalities, whether they were extroverted or introverted, and really the success of their business or just even how they started their business in general and really what's worked for them?
We only really see a small number of businesses. So there's the archetype of the tech geek, who blows up into something really huge. You have a few really dynamic people who do it, but it's all about balance. So for a company that's going to scale into something large, you want an introvert and an extrovert together. You know, Apple, Steve Jobs, and Steve Wozniak. You had the extrovert and the introvert. I don't know that Steve Jobs was really an extrovert, but compared with Wozniak, he was. If you're building a smaller service business, not as important. You may be doing that on your own or whatever, and those are much harder to collect data on. But it really is all about balance and finding those who complement your skill sets. And normally we look at that in terms of a non-technical co-founder should have a technical co-founder. Sure. But also look at the personality differences.
Yeah. And I think especially for people that are maybe solopreneurs, if they don't have a co-founder, then maybe look for ideas for collaborations where you're finding someone that can complement what you're doing and get you a larger audience that way and get more visibility, because collaborations are really everything. And that's where you can still benefit from the different personality types, but not actually have someone linking arms with you day to day.
Exactly. There are so many great communities out there for entrepreneurs. So yes, collaborations, partnerships, and so on are great. But even before you're maybe ready for that, there are great startup communities and you can find your community. That is the number one thing that anyone starting a company of any kind needs, is a community. No matter how wonderful your friends and family are, if they have not been in these trenches, they will not understand it. They want to, maybe, but you need others who are going through it, who get it.
And that's really what Self-Starter is all about. It's being able to connect women that are really in this journey together. Because like you said, your friends and family, they want to support you. And that's really what I'm going through right now. And they are the most supportive people, but they don't really truly understand because they're not in it every single day. So being able to connect with women like yourself that have done it or are starting it, the conversations are really relevant to the experiences you're having. And they're really what kind of propel you forward when you are kind of going downhill on that roller coaster and bring you back up, because what comes down must go back up. And I think that just having a good community is truly everything. And I know that I sound like I'm just like agreeing with you left and right. And it's like rah, rah, but it's so true. Community is truly everything. How have you personally leveraged community?
Even as an introvert, which surprises people, even introverts need community. I have been a part of some amazing communities at different points in time in my career. With my tech startup, when I first was doing all of that, Rent the Runway had a program called Project Entrepreneur. And I met some of the most amazing women founders who are still good friends today. Some of us have shuttered our businesses. Some of them are growing by leaps and bounds. And it is fantastic to watch all of it because we are all thriving, whether it's in our business or not. And we do it together. I've been a part of a few other women's groups sort of along the same lines. And I've also done more tech-focused groups where it's not just women, because men are going through it also. And not all of the lessons they take are applicable to us. And I look at a lot of things they say and go, oh, well, okay, but women can't do things like that. You know, that's great. But there are different standards, whether there should be or not. But yeah, perspective is everything. Hearing from other people, getting in front of the right people at the right time, but not putting so much into it that you're neglecting your business. And that's the hard balance, especially for introverts.
So what kind of advice would you give someone who is introverted, but looking to join a community like the ones that you've joined to be able to really maximize the experience, but also not deplete their energy?
Pay attention. Literally just pay attention. If you're walking away from engagements drained, then walk away. If you are walking away and you're engaging in small groups or online or a combination of the two, and you're walking away energized, keep doing it. Just pay attention.
Clearly, you have paid attention to what fuels you and what drains you. And I think that's, again, why you've had so much success throughout the years. And you've been able to navigate life as a lawyer, working for the government, and you've also done a lot of coaching. I mean, the list goes on and on. You're definitely qualified to be talking about all of this and how it's really helped you get to where you are today. Now, if you were to really think about where you were when you started your entrepreneurial journey and kind of the advice that you needed to hear at that time, what would you have needed to hear when you were just first starting out?
So I have started at several points in time. I've started, gone back to corporate America, started again, gone back. So when I was 25, the first attempt at a business, it was building a pipeline. It's harder than you think. Just because you have one client doesn't mean there will be more. Pay attention. But by business number two, it would have been be very careful who you surround yourself with, who you bring on as partners. They could be the best people in the world and you really like and respect them, but that doesn't mean they're going to be a good business partner for you. And by business three, when I started The Pride, which is my sexual assault and prevention tool, I spent years with the idea hoping someone else would do it because I didn't want to. And no one was doing it in a way that I thought was right. And I kept waiting and I kept waiting and I kept waiting. And so finally I said, okay, no one else is going to do it. I'm going to do it. Advice there, if you are not 100% in, be out. You cannot do it unless you are 100% in. That doesn't mean 100% in all the time. Like I said, I believe in balance, but when you are in, you need to be 100% in.
And that goes back to the roller coaster of entrepreneurship. You have to believe in something greater than yourself in order to really stick with it when the times get tough, because entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. It's going to have its highs, it's going to have its lows, but you need that solid foundation to come back to when you're at your low. And like you said, you don't have to be in it 100% of the time. You have to have that balanced life, but the foundation has to be there.
Exactly.
Yes.
I still believe in the cause. I still believe in the mission, but I could never articulate why I was the one who should do it. And if you can't articulate that, walk away. Work until you find that thing that you're like, this is what I have to do. No one else can do this.
With that being said, you had mentioned this is why you're the best person for this. Like, this is why you should do this. Why should people reach out to you to work with you and with the introvert founder?
I work with my clients to understand their working styles, what they need to do. And I use agile development, product development principles, and apply them to building a business and getting more done faster. So if you want to build your business faster and still have a balanced life, I'm your coach.
And I'll add to that, you are not just walking the walk, but you're talking the talk. You've actually lived this. You are an introvert yourself. You have ADHD yourself. You've built multiple businesses that have been very successful, and now you're helping others. So it's something that you truly have the experience to back up your coaching along the way as well. If someone wanted to work with you and to hire you as the introvert founder, where would they be able to go and get some more information?
Introvertfounder.com. And if you go to the site, I have a great lead magnet that is my goal setting process. It's a 45-minute process to make sure you're focused on what is right for you to focus on. Go download it. Best 45 minutes you can spend, whether we ever work together or not.
Well, and that was something that you're talking about was really important in how you work with your clients, is starting with that goal setting. So again, what a wonderful foundation piece to be able to begin with, whether or not they choose to work with you or not. Start with the goal setting, because the clarity is really the most foundational part. And then from there, take it a step further and reach out to Jody. So Jody, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story today. I have learned an insane amount of what introversion and ADHD truly means. So thank you so much for taking the time to share a little bit about your experience.
Thanks, Megan. It was great talking to you.
This conversation shows that introversion can actually be a huge strength in life and in business. The key is understanding how to play to these strengths. One of these plays that Jody shared was the importance of taking notes. Jody emphasized how jotting down personal details about others is not just a memory, but a way to show genuine care and connection, something that goes a long way with others and helps set you up for success. All right, my introverted self-starters, are you ready to identify your introverted strengths? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.